بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اب حضرت قاری طیب صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ایکسپلینڈ ان اینی ایکویژن یو ہیو تھری سیٹس آف پیپل مدرسہ ان یونیورسٹی ان جامعہ یو ہیو واٹ three or four sets of people. One is the mufti of the place, and his task is about the most difficult, because he has to see every situation from different perspectives. He must know the text of the answer. He must know what is the preferred opinion. He must understand the one that is asking the question. Then he must present his answer correctly so that his answer is not misconstrued or misunderstood. So in working out the answer, how many things he has to keep in mind before he presents it. Because an answer can be very easily misconstrued, and if you're not careful, it can be misunderstood. So how careful one needs to be to give the answer correctly, the preferred opinion, without the answer being misconstrued, how important it is. Then the second most important portfolio at a madrasa, jamia, university is the portfolio of a teacher, because the teacher can only deliver if he's prepared himself the previous night. Previous night, whatever he's going to be delivered, whatever he's going to deliver, he needs to equip himself, understand the whole discussion before he presents it to the class. Every day it's a new discussion, so every day it's a new preparation. Then the third task is of a orator. The orator's task is quite easy, simple, straightforward. He needs to learn about 30, 40 bayans. Dependent on what type of work, wherever he's going, he needs to have 34 bayans. And the 30, 40 bayans that he knows, he just needs to see, you know, which bayan, wherever he can apply, cut and paste. Stick and paste, take this bayan, put it here, take that bayan, put it there, place it there. So he needs to know a few bayans, and the same bayans he can just rotate it wherever he goes. That's the third work. And the fourth responsibility is about the easiest. The first three responsibilities, you need to have some capability, some professionalism, right, to be a mufti, or to be a teacher, or to be an orator, some type of professionalism is required. But for the fourth type of task, you need to be a non-professional. Not a professional, but you need to be a non-professional. And the more non-professional you are, then the more you're cut out for the fourth portfolio. So what's your task? Your first task is to be not a professional so that you can manage the fourth task. And that fourth task is to criticize. So how easy it is. Anything, person can ask, say you anything. So what's your proof? Who said this? And how do you know how authentic it is? How reliable is that evidence that you've got? Where you got it from? Which book it is? The book is in Arabic or Urdu. When was it written? Who was the writer of the book? So you can fire up so many questions, and you can confuse the person. So you need to be non-professional to be able to be in the fourth portfolio. So in this day, this is the secret of this age. You must be able to fire up questions. You must be a non-professional. And the more you can do it, and the person will ask you, you know, how smart he is. He doesn't realize there can be a folly, follow or a folly within his question. There's a folly within his question, then he'll make a fool of himself. Every answer is not the same. One answer is at one level, and the next answer is at a different level. So sometimes the answer can be such that it will silence him and silence him permanently. One person came up to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and he wanted to embarrass him. He was like an actor, how you get actors, clowns. He was like from that class to entertain people, to try and embarrass, entertain. So some people's work is to entertain people through embarrassing. Embarrass someone and entertain. So he asked Abu Hanifa, all irrelevant questions. That doesn't relate to it. He says, which is the most central place in the world? Abu Hanifa told him that the spot that you're standing on. So again, I see, controversial. So what's your proof? Very easy to ask, what's your proof? How many rakats in Zohar namaz? 4 rakats. What's your proof? So the man gets stuck for that moment. He doesn't know what to say. So now he doesn't realize who he's asking. Now this is the type of questions that are coming up. What's your proof? Who said it? Do you follow Rasulullah Baksam or do you follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi? So these are the type of questions that people ask. So we follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi because he knew Rasulullah said better than all of us. Why we follow him? He won't follow you. You want us to follow, he won't follow you because you don't know Rasulullah Baksam. But Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi knew Rasulullah said more than me and all of us before we follow him. So they ask the type of question and then the person gets caught. Now he doesn't know what to say. Following the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or following Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So he asked Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi now, which is the most central spot, spot that you're standing. What's your proof? Measure it. Measure it for one earth. Simple answer. So sometimes a simple answer, you will smash the person down. You don't have to, in this whole game here, you mustn't get angry. Don't lose your composure, don't get angry. And you can give him this one common sense answer, and you'll strike the person straight away. Measure it from one end to the earth to the other end, you'll get it right. I ask you all, there's more haram in the world or more halal? What's the more halal or more haram? Nobody's answering. What's the more halal or more haram? Don't know. Nobody knows. We can't make haram. Haram, Allah Pak makes it. Allah Pak says this is haram, this is halal. So what's more halal or more haram? Obviously, halal and haram is from Allah Pak. See? What's the proof? It's how simple to catch you. Ask me and I'll tell you. You want to ask me any further? Yeah. I say it's more haram and less halal. Because your wife is halal for you, and the whole world's woman. Your wealth is halal for you, and the entire world's wealth. Right? So, halumma jarran, carry on, you'll get the same answers, right? This person continued asking Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and what is the count of the stars in the sky? Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, the count of the shells on the seashore. What's your proof? Go and count it. He's asking all these irrelevant things. So you don't jam him up, then his mind won't open up. Then he asked, is there more four-legged or two-legged? Obviously four-legged. Proof and count. Now this person that was entertaining, right, he was a king's entertainer, so the type of a person now, but fortunately or unfortunately, he was a in between, hermaphrodite, both sides he was. So he asked, well, the last question he asked, are there more males or more females? So Imam Sahib said, all right, we'll answer that later, but what are you? So he's jammed up for permanently, you see, permanently jammed up, now you can't speak. So you get these type of people, and you get those people that will jam them up. So in this type of situations, especially in this day, you don't have to get excited. And you don't have to give lengthy answers. Simple questions, simple answers. The whole aim is to move you from the right. But then move you from the right by complicating you. Why are you following Abu Hanifa? Why are you making taqlid? Why are you following this Imams? You can't follow Rasulullah so straight. They'll ask you that type of questions. So you don't have to get worried. You don't get confused. Be relaxed. You know the answers, then ask some alim that is a little bit experienced. But the last thing to do is to get angry. Don't get angered at all. Just be relaxed and composed. And Allah Ta'ala willing, the right answers will come to you. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah had gone to London, you see. So the year that the Sheikh Rahmatullah had come, the priests and the papas and all that, they used to attend. They used to feel the presence, a very august presence, all of them. 1979, somewhere, 1980. So they used to feel the presence of some very great person. They used to come in. They would come and they would cry, ask for du'as. And then they wanted some questioning session, you see. The Sheikh used to refer them to Musab, that he's experienced in that respect. So they asked one question. But you know, there's an incident of a false allegation against the Nabi's wife, with Aisha's incident, you know, radiallahu anha. So what is that incident about? So that one priest asked the question and he smirked. So Musab realized now what this person is up to. It's a Nabi's wife. It's a woman with a false allegation. What is the incident about? Now, he knows, but he wants to create some types of entertainment so that it's easy to question and it's difficult to answer. Question will keep questioning you, but that answering is quite a difficult thing. So Musab answered him. You see, every chosen person had an enemy. Ja'alna li kulli nabiyin aduwan. Every chosen person, every nabi, every great person had an enemy. This is how the world works. That the more you climb up the spiritual ladder, then the more oppositions you get. The more you climb up, and the more oppositions. It will happen. It's natural consequence of this world. It won't be that you climb up and you don't have an opposition. So you'll keep getting oppositions. And if you are very high, then even after your death, you'll get oppositions. Right? You'll get people criticizing you, condemning you, after you have passed away. Now you get people speaking out against Nabi Sassam, now after he's gone from this world. Speaking out against the Imam, after they have gone from the world. But you'll keep Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, and you'll have people speaking out against him. How many years passed? He's passed away in 1323 approximately, right? How many years? So over 100 years he's passed away, right? But up to now you get people branding him kafir, etc., etc. So you'll get this going on. So the greater, the higher the person elevates, and the more criticism you'll get against him. One person came to one person, to one sheikh, who had some ta'aluk with Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he was a professional person, advocate or something. He said, I wish to take bayat at your hands. But remember, I hurl abuse against your elders. I hurl abuse against, but I consider you as a pious person. So I will take and pledge bayat at your hands. But you must accept me for what I am. I hurl abuse against your elders. So if you want to, you can accept. He said, all right, no problem. About the third or fourth day passed, and this person came up crying. What happened? So, no, I saw Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh in the presence of Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was seated in a respectable manner, like how you sit in Tashahud, and he's holding onto the knees of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he's asking, Ya Rasulullah, what is my wrong? What's my mistake? Why are the people insulting me like this? Nabi Sam has got his hands on the knees of Nabi Sam, Gangaram has got his hands on Nabi Sam's knees approximately. And then he's asking, what is my wrong? Why are the people insulting me like this? So Nabi Sam took his hand and embraced him. And he says, but I'm not hurling abuse against you. In other words, don't get worried, don't pay attention. These people, all anaris, all you know, fly by night, they just born yesterday. They got no knowledge. So that's what I say, in this day, there's more people, you know, who have lost some senses, 2 cents, 5 cents. Before there's only 2 cents, now they're using about 50 cents. From the only one rand they got, someone is losing 50, 60, 70. They're losing everything. So you get more people of that. So they've lost it now, don't worry about them. Don't pay attention to them. So he asked Mustafa Rahmatullahi, what about that incident, that false allegation? So I explained to him, see, they are, for every righteous person, there was an enemy. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus had an opposition, right? Musa al-Islam had an opposition. Right? And the oppositions came and attacked in different ways. Where they could not attack the person directly, then they character assassinated him. Right? Insulted him. So there are about 3 women in the Quran Sharif who have been attacked in this manner. Right? About 3 women, 3 people, right? 3 people that have been attacked in this manner. And it's recorded in the Quran Sharif. One is a man. One is a woman. Two are women. Right? One is a man. And two are women. Right? The one woman did not have a husband and had a child. Right? And the other woman was married but did not have a child. So now tell me, whose story must I start off with first? So that priest, all their faces just went down like that. Because obviously, it's a reference to Maryam alayhi salam. She was not married and she had given birth to a child. Right? So if they're going to say, all right, give us the story of this woman here, right? Now it's going against their own integrity, their own reputation. That's when they went silent. Then one other bright spark, like I say, today people lost 5 cents, 1 rand, they lost everything. So one bright spark he asked, but I can't understand, how can there be a false allegation against the wife of a Nabi? Against the wife of a Nabi. So Musa Ibrahim answered, let alone the wife of a Nabi. People went and slandered, who they slandered? God's mother. Europe was God's, Jesus was God, right? So God's mother was slandered. Now again, they're ashamed. Why did they open their mouth? You open your mouth and you get this type of an answer. Rather keep quiet. Do not ask this type of questions that you will feel embarrassed. So you will get this type of situations coming up, more and more you'll get it. Right? And there's no need to get worried, no need to get confused and perplexed, because the idea is to get you either emotional or either to get you confused. So just relaxed, be calm and composed. You don't know the answer, then refer to someone. But the intention is not to educate you or to direct you and to lead you, right? The whole intention is to confuse you. Right? So don't you get worried, don't get confused in this whole thing. It's a trap. Now how well it's presented, you see? How well it's presented. Right? And there are those youth that in sincerity they follow Salafiyat, right? We will not say that they are following it because they are insincere. They are in insincerity. But just that they don't understand the whole game. To follow something, you need to know the whole game, where it's starting from, and how it will just throw you off. You know, see, this mazhab is like a railway track. You see, for the railway track, then you keep moving. It seems like, you know, you're constrained, you can't move right, you can't move left. How constrained the railway track seems, right? You can't move. You can't make a move 1 inch onto the right, 1 inch to the left. You have to move on the track all the time. So it looks so constrained. That's the mazhab, right? You've got 4 imams. So when you're following the 4 imams, that's how it looks. That's how it appears that you are constrained, you're constricted, you're restricted, you can't move right, you can't move left. But dare you move out of the track, can you move after that? If you ever move out of the track, I ask you, can you move? As you stand, it seems that you're restricted. Movement is restricted. Just remain on the track. Don't get out of the track to the right or to the left. But if someone feels that he is restricted and he is restrained and he needs to move off, I ask you, can he ever move? He can't move at all. Not even 1 inch he can't move. So this is not a classroom. If it was a classroom, then I would have shown you some examples, right? Just one example, let me show you just one example. How difficult it is to move, right, without an imam. See, for example, the imam went into ruku, right? And you just came into the namaz. What are you required to do? To join him, right? So now, that's, you've learned from Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi that you saw the imam, then you join him straight away. Now there are about 5 hadiths on the same topic. The one hadith says, "La salata illa bi fatiha til kitab." Namaz is invalid without Surah Fatiha. Right. So now the person comes in, and as he wants to join in the imam, he thinks to himself, "Hey, I haven't read my Fatiha, so my namaz is invalid. What must I do?" Right. So, now, there's another hadith which says that you join the imam as you see him, right? It's another hadith. Right. So now, on the one side, the hadith is saying that you didn't read the Surah Fatiha, namaz is invalid. The other hadith is saying you found the imam in a posture, then you join him in that posture. Right? Now, what must you do now? If you join him in that posture, will that rakat be counted or not counted? Because you didn't read the Surah Fatiha. So, it's such a tricky situation. What do you do? So you'll have to go to an imam and tell the imam, "See, there's so many hadiths on the subject here. What do I do?" must I repeat the rakat or must I stand and read the Surah Fatiha? If I do stand and read the Surah Fatiha, I'll miss the rakat. So what do I do? So the Imam will tell you that La salata illa bi fatihat al-kitab. Namaz is invalid without the Surah Fatiha. Is with respect to a person who's reading namaz individually and is respect to the Imam. So the Imam, or the one that is performing namaz individually, this hadith refers to him. Right. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi reports from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu that this is with respect to the person who's reading namaz individually or performing namaz, one of these two people. It's not with reference to the person that is following the Imam. The hadith that relates to the person that is following is that من أدرك ركوع فقد أدرك ركعة. That you got the ruku, you got the rakat. So now, so it's so easy to follow the Imam. So you're following the Imam as though you're on the track. And you can cover journey, you can cover distance. But you just move to the right or to the left. Now you're stuck, you can't move. If I do this, I'm not practicing that hadith. If I'm doing this, I'm not practicing this hadith. Now what do I do? Where do I go from here? Because you don't want to listen to any Imam. You don't want to listen to any Sahabi. So now, how do you move then? How are you going to move this? You can't listen to an Imam, you can't listen to a Sahabi, you want to listen directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you don't know the context of which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said what thing, what he said, and what was the context that he said. So, I say, following the mazhabs is such a safety, right? Look at, I show you another hadith, right? Simple hadith. One hadith says, من ترك الصلاة متعمدا فقد كفر. You left your namaz intentionally, then you are a kafir. Right? What? That's the literal translation of this hadith. You left the namaz intentionally, then you are a kafir. Right? Now, I ask you, there was one Turkish delegation came here, this Gulen movement. So the African head, the whole head of the whole Africa, the head was here about 5-6 months ago. He came with the Imam from Midran. Midran, that's a Turkish masjid. So they came here as a delegation. So there was a discussion. In the discussion, I just asked you, some of your students that are studying at your madrasas, they are here with us now. And we are asking them to go back, but they don't want to go back. So I asked them, you know, why they refuse to go back. Is the food here anyway better? I said, oh, the food there, the Turkish madrasa, is far better. They give you food, plus they give you a coke with every meal. Where the madrasa can afford all that? We can't afford all that. They give you a coke with every meal. That we can't afford all these things here. So, but then I asked him, but then why do you insist to stay here? He said, no, because there's no sunnah there. What do you mean no sunnah? You know, they asked us to shave off the beard. So that's the style in the Turk, that you mustn't keep a beard in these Gulen madrasas. They give you a blade, you must go and shave. Right? So now, when I said this, the Turkish, Midran Imam, because he's under this Gulen, so he says, you know, it's not right what you are saying. So I say, why? Just explain yourself. He said, because I want to know from, he's asking me, I want to know from you, do the majority of the Muslims, do they keep beards or do they not keep beards? I said, they don't keep beards. So now he wants to come to a conclusion that because the majority doesn't keep beards, so therefore, beard mustn't emphasize. It's just a cultural thing, don't emphasize on it. So I said, if you base the argument on that premise, then I want to know the majority of the people perform the Fajr Namaz or don't perform Fajr Namaz. He got angry, that person got angry. That Gulen head that keeps, hey, Jazakallah, Jazakallah. Very happy with the beating. I say in this type of discussion, you don't have to get a lengthy research and all that. But just be level-headed and just focus on Allah Ta'ala. Right answers will come. Majority of people are not reading namaz, Fajr namaz, do you see? But very angry, because that Turkish delight some gave that. So I knew it was a bribe. The bribe doesn't say, I'm giving you a bribe, no? See me, right? Just to end the discussion in a dignified way, he gave me that. So we got a lot of workers, he said, I have to give all the workers, I'll take this and go. You can't take this thing, it's not right for us to take it, because it's a bribe. You can see what he's giving it for, just to close this thing up. So now coming back to this hadith, which says, مَنْ تَرَكَ السَّلَاةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا. Leave the namaz intentionally, then you're a kafir, right? Now, I ask you, majority of the people perform the Fajr namaz or don't perform out of the month of Ramadan? Ji, it's a simple question. Majority of people perform Fajr namaz or not? They don't perform, right? So what they became, according to the hadith, kafirs. So is the nikah valid? Nikah not valid? Right, now keep this hadith one side, right? Got that hadith, right? Now join it to another hadith. The other hadith is La Salata illa bi Fatihat al-Kilab. Namaz, there's no namaz, literal translation, there's no namaz without Surah Fatiha. Right? No fasu Surah Fatiha, then no namaz. So all of you all, you will perform, you will recite Surah Fatiha behind the Imam. Don't recite. So is your namaz valid? According to the surface meaning of this hadith, is your namaz valid? If your namaz is not valid, there's no namaz, then what do you become? And all of you are kafirs then. Each one of the person that is sitting here, everybody became kafir. Now you see, what I'm saying now is that the road of safety is to follow Imam. The Imam will tell you that La Salata illa bi Fatiha al-Kitab refers to an Imam or refers to the person that is performing namaz individually, not to the person that is performing namaz behind the Imam. Because you didn't want to learn from the Sahabi or from the Tabi that is learning from the Sahabi. You wanted to go direct, so you got thrown out of the track. When you got thrown out of the track, now you can't move. And that means you will have to declare nearly all the world, 80% of the world Muslims are all kafirs. That means now, when you say them they're kafirs, that means the nikah is invalid, the children are all illegitimate, their slaughterings are all haram. Can you see the consequence? Are you prepared for that? You can't move. You can't move an inch. Nikah is not right. Your children will be all illegitimate. You are in a haram relationship. Slaughtering is all haram. So you can't move. So the road of safety is by you go to an experienced alim. You trust him for his knowledge. You've got the confidence and move on. Yes, if you want to know the proofs, then you also come into a madrasa, go through the whole curriculum, 8, 9, 10 years, look into the text, the arguments, the counter-arguments, look all that. And then you can also research the book. But you don't have the time. Everybody can't manage it. Then the one that you have the confidence, rely on him, trust on him, and move on. After all, you apply the same thing, same principle in medicine, right? Right. So you don't, before you go for a heart operation, you don't go and ask the specialist, what's the arguments? Against and for an operation. Tell me all, the whole research. Where you started from, who said this, how successful you were, show me your reports, medical reports. In the process of him studying, you may get another massive heart attack and he'll die. So, the right thing for him is, this thing is working, right? I see so many people working. You seem to be a good surgeon. Mashallah, start it all and carry on with my life. Don't you say that? So, in every other thing, you follow the same principle, can't you apply the same thing here? So this is an orchestrated thing to confuse the Muslim. It would seem But whoever has pioneered this, he's against Islam, right? He's against Islam and against Muslims. Why is against? Because he's seeing in the Western countries, Islam is the fastest growing religion, right? Now in Paris itself, every seventh person is a Muslim. So it's growing so fast. You see, now they are encouraging family planning, right? Right. So every French will have one child or two child or no children, right? And then the Muslims that are there, dharadhar unki aulaad paida ho rahi hai. He's got 7 children, 10 children, and they can't compete. Even if they want to compete, right, they can't manage so much. They'll get a nervous breakdown. So the Muslim population is just going up. In official records, the numbers are so high, right, so high. So now they're worried about their own survival. Therefore, they're trying to break Islam. How they're breaking it is to confuse. So this thing seems like I said, there's a lot of youth that are in this thing here, but they are sincere. They don't know, they can't understand the whole plan. And because they don't understand the plan, it's presented to them so nicely, so they go for it. But they don't understand what's behind it. Now, not understanding what's behind it, so they're going for it. Right? So that's why I say this is a road of safety. Right, you just go by it, and I say in everything in life, anything you're starting off, you just follow. You're going to school, or primary, pre-primary, right? The teacher says you, this is A, and this is B, right? Now if you begin to ask the teacher, why is A written like this, like A, and why is A not written like B? The teacher, can he find any logical answer to that? The teacher will just say, hey, just follow this. Don't be three clever, just be too clever and just carry on. Because if you're three clever, then I don't have any place in my classroom for you. He'll just have to follow. And then eventually he'll understand, all right, there is a thing like phonetics, there is a thing like pronunciation, etc. We have to create something so that you can understand and read. But now if he wants to know all these things here, it's going to be very, very lengthy, arduous journey. And he's not going to come to the end. So simple, just go with this, follow and move on. You'll get to know things yourself, eventually. So the same in deen, the one that is sincere, who spent his life, his experience, his understands, hold on to him and move on. So all millions of Muslims, for 14th century, they followed imams. So say 13th century, they followed imams. So you didn't see them going astray, right? Your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, who did they follow? They followed some imam, and you didn't see them going astray. So inshallah, for 13, 14 centuries, they didn't go astray. Now, someone started off this thing here, just to confuse you. Now you see, you know, if you follow them, you will get astray. Whereas their way is tried and tested. This one here is not tried yet. You can see the confusion is created. Right? This one here, your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they followed the same way. They followed the way and you saw till the end they went right. This one here is still going to experiment the thing. And already it's created so much of confusion. So why go behind that which is creating this confusion? Another like that. Okay.
Mulana Yusuf Mita is requested to come to the front and make the dua.
Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka ash-shukru kullu, wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kullu. Allahumma la usi sana'an alayk, anta kama asnita ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bimiyahu ahluh. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات المؤمنات. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل الذي يقربنا الى حبك. يا الله forgive us, يا الله. يا الله in this month of Ramadan, يا الله. In this gathering of your pious people, يا الله. يا الله you forgive us, يا الله. يا الله don't look at who is asking, يا الله. يا الله look at what we are asking for, يا الله. يا الله we are pleading before you, يا الله. يا الله forgive us, يا الله. يا الله make our مغفرت, يا الله. يا الله make our islah kamil, يا الله. يا الله all those who are sick and ailing, يا الله. يا الله grant them shifa'i kamila, يا الله. All those who have whatever desire, jayiz desires, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant it, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them, ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, ya Allah, to look after our old, ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the jazba of making khidmat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who had any part, ya Allah, in granting us ilm, ya Allah, all our asatiza, ya Allah. All those who had any part in our dini tarbiyat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them jazai khair, ya Allah. All those who have passed away, ya Allah. All our near and dear ones who have passed away, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make the maghfirat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Allahumma arzukna hubbak, wa hubba min yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalil ladhi yuqarribuna ila hubbik. اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام عليكم.